It was the night of the dance in the high school gym, when all at once something flashed and the lights grew dim. Then with the zoom and the zip in the room flew a ship, manned by men who were 2 feet ten, all singing,
"Take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha, take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha."
Each man was made of Band-Aid and a bobby pin, electric bulbs blinking where eyeballs should have been. Strange were their hands, made of red rubber bands, and they said, while their feet clicked a Martian beat, "Hey, Earthling,
take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha, take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha."
They sang, all the gang gathered round and clapped. You should have seen how their green wire elbows flapped. Then with some gum and a coke and a pink puff of smoke, they were gone, but their song lingered on. "Hey, Earthling,
take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha, take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha, take me to your leader."
Back. Hi, it's Radio Misterioso. We're back with Bill Moore. And we got a few calls while we were talking there, but I wanted to give Bill a chance to talk without having to be interrupted. However, now, if you would like to call in at 213-252-0998, Bill will take your questions as long as they're not stupid.
As the Munchkin and Alien Orchestra files out of the studio.
It seems like every time I've got about 6 or 8 songs from the 50s about aliens, and they all sound like the Chipmunks. I don't know why.
Didn't you know?
There's even one called Space Mice that Walter Brennan, of all people, did, and they sound like they came straight off the Chipmunks album.
Well, actually, they did.
Why do you think they got so popular? Well, until we get a call here at 213-252-0998, we'll continue on with what we were talking about. I wanted it's probably a few. Oh, you know what? I got an email that I mentioned to you from Grant Cameron, who you know or know of.
Yes.
Who will be at the Crash Retrieval Conference, I think it is, in Las Vegas, November 15th and 16th, or is it 14th and 15th, whatever that weekend is. I better know I'm speaking at it. On this silly Benowitz subject, but he wanted to know. I should look up the email actually. One thing was what Carter's involvement with the UFO, President Carter's involvement with the UFO subject was.
All I ever,
as far as you know,
all I ever really knew about that was what I was told, and I was told that he was briefed. And the so-called Carter briefing document was supposed to have been some handwritten, transcribed from handwritten notes by somebody that was there. But it's pretty outlandish. And if indeed it is the transcription of notes by someone who was there, it seems to have been embellished a bit.
What kind of stuff was in that memo, though?
Oh, gosh, that goes back a long ways, and it's all been talked about and published. You know, things about the Greys and there's a lot of stuff in there that you got to wonder whether that wasn't created for another purpose.
Uh-huh.
But supposedly Carter was briefed that there were UFOs, that they were extraterrestrial, and that they didn't seem to pose any knowable threat to us, but that they were there and we were keeping an eye on them.
Uh-huh. Okay, we'll take this call now as long as it comes through here. Hello, Kill Radio. Okay, just a second. Let me see if the phone's working here. Let me see if I can get you through on the board. Otherwise, I'll have to relay the message. Our technology goes from horrible to wonderful, horrible to slightly horrible. Just a minute. Also, you'll probably have to get a little bit closer to the phone. Or speak up. Yeah, just a minute.
wheel there, Greg.
Ow!
Ah,
I hear there we you. Go. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you're on with... I can sound like Art Bell. You're on with Bill Moore.
Cool. Mr. Moore, I have a question, a general question. What do you think about what I'll call the spaceship moon theory, being that the mystery behind the our great big UFO in the sky?
I think you have to be a little bit more specific.
No, I'm familiar with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, once we get the feedback cut back there.
I read...
Go on.
Go ahead. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You read what?
I had a question about the spaceship moon theory.
Yeah,
what do you think the possibility is that the moon entered our atmosphere and slowed down and stopped and was controlled and is being inhabited by an alien race?
Well, the first time I ever heard of that, I'm trying to think of the man's name. He had a mile-long name. Back...
I'm sorry. I can hear you on the radio.
Okay. The first time that I heard about that was...
All right, rock and roll.
Shall we try again?
I think the computer is slightly behind where there's a delay there.
Yeah.
So you might have to turn it down so you can understand what we're talking. Can you hear us through the phone? Can you hear us through the phone? He might have hung up.
All right. Well, let's answer the question.
All right.
Assume that he did. The first time that I ever heard about that was back in the late 70s. And I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he had a mile-long name, and he espoused the theory that the moon was hollow, that the CIA knew this, that there were aliens using the moon as a base, so on and so forth. Len Stringfield, if I'm not mistaken, published something either from this same gentleman or from similar story. As far as I can tell, and as far as logic and common sense will take us, there is absolutely nothing to that. There's no reason to accept that whatsoever, other than pie in the sky, perhaps, or green cheese in the sky, as it may be. And I wish I could remember the man's name, because then you could go back and check it out firsthand and find out some of the other things this gentleman had to say, and the fact that he was not... shall we say, particularly well-balanced when it came to his ability to make logical conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's worthy of any further discussion. I don't accept it. I don't know of anybody that does, that I ever had any contact with. We laugh about things like that. I can't imagine how the CIA would persuade... Congress or the White House to back a budget that would keep them in sheets and pillowcases on the moon, shall we say.
I was trying to find that question that came in to me, and I don't see it now from Grant Cameron. Oh, wait, there it was. Here we go. You can also email your questions to spacebrother@dslextreme.com, and I will check the email on occasion. Wow, now we ask people to call in, nobody's calling in. 213-252-0998, and here we go. I'd like to get to question Bill Moore, as this is a chance of the last decade. I'd like to ask his opinion on the knowledge of UFO presidents, whatever that means, I guess, from Eisenhower up to now, Truman, actually, about the true nature of UFOs, and particularly Jimmy Carter, who built a lot of work on. We talked about that. I'd like to comment on the Special Facilities Division as a White House related unit, which appeared on the cover up UFO cover up live television show Flowchart. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. There was a flowchart. I didn't have a lot to do with creating that, so I don't really know just how factual it was, but I do remember looking at it. The producer of the show, Michael Seligman, and someone else that he had come into contact with initiated that chart. It was something that they had created in the studio. It wasn't something that was an official government chart. And it was the result of trying to piece together a chain of command by talking to different people. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty hastily thrown together. I don't know whether I would give it a lot of credence. There were a lot of things on that show that were very hastily thrown together. UFO Cover-Up Live, which was supposed to be a spontaneous show, and in the end it was they insisted that it be scripted and we had to read what we were told, and it really was a very disappointing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had that to do over again, I would not have gotten involved with that show.
Why did you get involved with it in the first place?
Well, we were led to believe, or we were told that they had considerably higher standards than they did, and that they were willing to be a bit more factual than they were. It turned mm-hmm. out that their main motivation was sensationalism and audience and ratings, and they had little concern for what might be true. And if people weren't saying what they wanted to hear, they suddenly decided they needed to script everything. And, you know, that it just was a most disappointing experience.
Why did you go ahead with it when you started realizing, because it just had gotten to the point where you couldn't stop? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, we were under contract with it.
Oh, okay.
So we had to go ahead with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that they did a lot of things that they didn't even consult with us about.
Some of
the people that were on the show would have had a lot more to say than they did, but they weren't asked the right questions. So it seems we have another call here. Let's see what this is about. And we're going to try to put them on.
Okay, we've got a caller here for Bill. Maybe if I turn this down, we won't get feedback. Are you there? Nope, that's not it.
Ha.
There we go. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes. Well, do you have a question for Bill?
Yes, I do.
Ask away.
There was a question concerning the theory that's been put forward to do with the brains, the different membranes of reality, and what's his view on that?
You might have to elaborate.
No, I'm aware of that.
Oh, okay.
That's a very interesting question, and I must compliment the person asking that question on their perspicacity. Something that's very much on the forefront of modern physics. Brains, B-R-A-N-E-S, is a, I guess the word was inspired from membranes.
Mm-hmm.
And the current theory of cosmology, physics, is that there is a possibility that our universe exists as one of an endless series of universes parallel to each other, but yet completely separate. In order to justify this, one has to conceive of the existence of more dimensions.
Yeah, we're still here. It's probably you can't hear us through the phone line.
Yeah.
If you're listening on the air, you can hear, or on the computer, you can hear us. Otherwise, I don't know if it's going to come through.
Probably you have to hold the phone.
All right.
In any case, it's a subject that's very much on the forefront of physics, and it suggests the possibility that our universe and others might come into brief moments of contact with each other, and that there may be some way to share energy across these brains. Again, B-R-A-N-E-S. And if you're interested in the subject, I think you should probably spend some time look it up in the current physics publications, because it is getting some print of late. It's a very interesting thing. And, of course, the implication for the UFO question is, could UFOs be interdimensional? Could they have found some way to interact with these, with our brain and others, and thereby be popping in and out at certain, perhaps convenient moments, quantum physics-wise?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
The caller has asked an intelligent question, just how much it's going to answer anything, we don't know yet. I think we need to... this is a subject that's going to be studied for quite a bit by brains certainly more capable, B-R-A-I-N-S, more capable than mine. Good question.
Thank you.
Anything else you wanted to ask? Nope, he hung up. Guess not.
I have a feeling that was Miles Lewis, but we'll find out later.
Yeah, if anybody else wants to call at 213-252-0998, please do. What? How did you find out about this subject?
I just keep up with the literature. If, you know, if you have, shall we say, collectors out for certain subject material, you know, anything that comes in, you look at. And that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in certain subjects, and so my filters are set for those things. And this is when one of the more recent ones, and it's a rather intriguing subject. But unless you have some degree of background in physics and some ability to understand it, it's pretty technical.
Multiple
dimensions beyond the four that we know. And,
uh-huh. It sounds like a different way of looking at it than it's been discussed.
Well, you know, Einstein and Kaluza, I think, in the 1930s and 40s, began to develop concepts along the lines of multiple universes and multiple dimensions. And then Einstein decided that it was a dead end, that even if such dimensions existed, he couldn't imagine what might be in them or what would fill them.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually made that comment. And so his research just sort of veered off in another direction, and I don't know that he ever really did get back to it, but more recently others have picked up on the idea and have carried it further.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that someone like Hal Puthoff would be up on that subject matter?
He better be. He's certainly a prime candidate for an interested party there. It is his area of research.
Uh-huh.
You know, as you know, he's been doing some research on the so-called background radiation and
zero-point
gravity and zero-point energy kind of thing, trying to derive usable energy source from the actual background energy of the universe, which is everywhere. And he sends me his papers from time to time on that subject. I always read them and find them fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I admit that the math is quite often a bit above my head, the concepts and the principles aren't, and so I'm able to follow what he's saying.
How long have you known Hal?
Oh, quite a while. I can't say that I really ever knew him particularly well, but I spent a lot of time with him and have had correspondence with him and
mm-hmm.
still keep touch with him sort of on a loose basis, occasional basis. Always respected him. I think he's a good thinker and a very open-minded person.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few people that seems to be open-minded enough to take a good solid look at things that other scientists think twice about because of their reputations. You know, you get too controversial when you're a scientist and suddenly grant money starts disappearing. And Hal has been very fortunate in that area because he's been able to maintain his contacts and do his work and, you know, an interesting man.
Keep some sort of separation. Is there anything about Hal that people don't know that you might want, that he wouldn't mind? Like an interest. How did you happen to meet him or happen to get to know him?
I don't even recall. To be perfectly honest, I don't at this moment recall how I first met him.
Mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly through someone else that introduced him to me. You know, he and John Alexander keep in touch with each other. Kit Green, whose name has come and gone in things, and Hal Puthoff are friends.
Right.
And, you know, I've had contact with those people as well, so it may have been one of them. Phone ringeth again, and Greg is answering. We'll see who this is.
Well, background. Caller wants to know if you're a resident of California, and if so, how do you feel about the new governor?
Yes, I am a resident of California. And as a matter of fact, I exercised my vote in this latest circus. How do I feel about the new governor?
Yeah.
The Gruppenführer? You know, the Nazis called them the Gruppenführers. I've heard him called Gruppenführer. I don't lay claim to originating that term, but I've heard it kicked around. It's rather humorous. I don't know. I actually, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think that Arnold Schwarzenegger has two brains between his ears. You know, he's just not a smart man. And so I'm concerned that he is going to be another George W. Bush situation where he is a dimwit who is capable of being manipulated by those around him who are rich, powerful, and willing to manipulate. Now the question then arises, is the principal manipulator in his life going to be his wife, or is it going to be his millionaire drinking buddies and social friends? If it's the former, I think we're perhaps on fairly reasonable ground, because Maria Shriver certainly knows what she's doing and she knows politics. If it's the latter, we're in trouble. More likely, it's going to be a combination of both, and there's going to be a cat fight to see who runs Arnie. And, you know, Arnold, I don't think the man has a clue as to what to do. I think he is another one of these people that says, well, I've got good people around me, and they know what to do, and I've got money, so I'll just pay them to do it.
Well, I think you're right, and I think long live the Brotherhood of the Black Bird.
Whatever that may be.
Long live the Brotherhood of the Illuminati. N-A-U-G-H-T-Y. Let's see. We'll take another about 8 minutes or so to get any calls that people want to send in. Call in 213-252-0998 to Kill Radio here and the Radio Misterioso show. We've got about 45 minutes left. And after the next break, we'll talk about Bill's latest project. It sounds like I was going to go to a break right there, didn't it?
Well, are you?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not right now.
So.
I've asked you all the questions I wanted to ask.
There are people out there that have these questions pent up within their breast, and they just are hesitant to call because they're hesitant to call.
What are you afraid of? Just call up. Can you imagine the bravery it took for Bill to come down here and talk to anybody after all these years?
I'll tell you a funny story in the meantime here. I told this to Greg the other night, but I'll tell it on the air. It has to do with Rick Doty.
That's who everybody wants to hear about.
Yes, everybody likes your favorite undercover agent there. I happened to be in Denver, Colorado one time on something completely unrelated to UFOs, as I recall. And I checked into a motel and turned on the television, as you do when you walk into the motel room, you know, and here was the news. And they were having an anti-nuclear demonstration in Denver. People were marching down the streets.
What year was this?
Banners. This was in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Carrying banners and screaming and chanting and so on and so forth. And here, right in the front row, carrying a banner and wearing a big pair of sunglasses, was Rick Doty. And I looked at that and just cracked up. I thought, oh boy, you know, what's he up to now? So the next time I saw him, I mentioned that to him. He says, you saw that? His eyes got real wide. And I said, yeah, I did. In any case, he had been sent to infiltrate the anti-nuclear people, and so he was. That's what he was doing, and I happened to recognize him. We have another caller, hopefully.
Okay, just a minute. Let me get the phone potted and up here, and you can ask another question of Bill Moore.
The usual technical situation here.
Go right ahead.
Yes, Mr. Moore, I was wondering if you had read the Bible Code or either of the Bible Code books and their references to extraterrestrials, aliens handing the Bible, and also it kind of relates to the what you're saying about the brains of reality. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm not at all sure that there is any meaningful connection between Bibles and codes at all. If there is, it may not derive from the original text, but rather may derive from things put in there later by cabals and so on, maybe a long time ago. Just to point that out, or to give you an example to that situation, somebody within the last couple of months emailed me about how remarkable it was that the middle of the Bible occurred at some certain verse and that everything, you know, before and after that was an equal number, and claimed that this was encoded and so on and so forth. And I said, well, that's very interesting, but the Bible wasn't originally written in verse style. Those verses were added in the 16th century, and whoever added them metered them out so that they worked out that way. You know, and of course you'll find a pattern there, because that was put there by whoever did that. And it's been there for 500 years, and everybody forgot who originally divided the Bible into verses and everything, and nobody thinks about that anymore. But Bible codes just do not impress me. They're inevitably pursued by people who have access to grind, religious access to grind, and messages to give. And what that all has to do with the alien issue is beyond me. I don't think it has anything to do with the alien issue, really. I think the study of religion is fascinating. I've spent a lot of my life, very few people know this, but I've spent a lot of my life studying the first couple of hundred years of Christianity in an effort to find out what we can discover about who really wrote those early books of the New Testament. Who were these people? And what did the early church believe, and how has that changed over the years? I attended a Lutheran college, undergraduate college, and it really all kind of began then when I had to make religious studies because it was required at that time, even though I didn't major in religion. But to put any kind of meaning into biblical things, to me, I think that's a dangerous situation, because, you know, to begin with, if you're going to give any credence to Bible books, the first thing you need to know is who wrote this book. What was their purpose? Can we prove that they wrote it? And when? And you can't really do that about very many of the Bible books. You can do it with a few of them, mostly New Testament. And even there's some question as to whether the format that we have today is exact with the original or not. There's a lot of intriguing mysteries there. And there's certainly questions of cosmology as to, you know, who was Jesus, and was he divine, and was he perhaps extraterrestrial? All of those things have come up. I'm not making any claims one way or the other. I'm just saying that Certainly in the course of human history, Jesus is one of the figures more worthy of study than many others. And unfortunately, all too often, that study is tainted by what somebody wants to believe up front, or what they want to find up front, and is not conducted by people who are really open-minded enough to conduct it without letting their religious beliefs get in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, you're entitled to your religious beliefs, and I'm entitled to mine, but if you're going to study history. Don't study religion, because religion is not history.
What about the idea that there's a book called The Christ Conspiracy, that Jesus never existed? There's been a couple of books like that in maybe the last 100 years that I know of.
Well, I've read several of those volumes, and also volumes that claim that Jesus and what was his name, Apollo something or other, were one and the same person, and that also Jesus was a sorcerer. There's all kinds of stories like that, but none of them can give you any solid historical foundation for their argument. It's all just sheer speculation based on a certain reading of a certain text, and that comes down to how you choose to translate it. And in many times you get down to argument about how a word is translated. That one word may be the entire case. One person says, oh, it means this, another says, no, it means that. And so you each build an argument based on that same, but you're arguing about the same word. And
right,
we'll never
right.
know how the writer of that word intended it to be interpreted, because we can't interview them. So
that's
we merely
one
have
thing,
to... Go ahead.
That was one thing that surprised me about the books by Michael Drosnin, the Bible Code, goes into the Hebrew text of the Torah that was supposedly handed to Moses on some type of paper or something. And anyway, the code is supposedly interpreted and tells the future. Supposedly, they found the Kennedy assassination encoded in the Bible with this computer program they have, and